Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is the best day to open your church? This is Wretched Radio, the shot heard round the evangelical world, and I suspect in the halls of government in California, Grace Community Church deciding to defy the government and do church on Sunday. Full-blown orchestra, organ. Ah, that was nice. Congregation, the place was packed, overflow seating, and it appeared to be a change of position on the part of Grace Community Church. And I would agree it was and it wasn't. Todd, it can't be both. I think it was. It was both a change and not a change. For months, Grace Community Church has been saying, we're going to monitor this at this time. It seems to us the best thing to do is to comply with the government and simply close it off to make sure that people are safe based on scientism, what the experts are telling us. Grace Community Church has concluded those estimations were overblown. Furthermore, the government, which appears to be making plans into 2021 to keep things closed down, has crossed a line in the opinion of Grace Community Church. Therefore, they now are deciding to worship. And that is both a change and not a change. I think they've been entirely consistent from the beginning. Some people have been saying, hey, if the government has been overstepping its authority, which it did, why did Grace Community Church not take this stance in the beginning? And the answer to that question was, it was different in the beginning. History happens in time. There was different information. There were different circumstances, different considerations. And at that time, it seemed best to the elders of Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, California, to comply. When the government said this, then they said that, then they said this, then they said that, and as the science doesn't seem as reliable as it was once believed to be, and because the government is now saying we're going to kind of keep things closed down and buttoned up till 2021, the elders of Grace Community Church made the decision that's the line that is crossed. They concur with Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. We submit to the government unless they tell us to sin. Previously, they believed that the government was not telling them to sin. They were telling them to do something that was wise and presumably good for people. Now, which is different than yesterday, which is different than the day before yesterday, which is certainly different than May, the circumstances are different, and so now they've applied this decision. That isn't a change. It's not a flip-flop. It is exactly in alignment with what they have been saying all along. They haven't changed. The circumstances have. So now, that raises a question for a lot of churches that rightly esteem Dr. John MacArthur as being a man of wisdom. Should we take the lead of Grace Community Church and do likewise? Is it now time for all churches in California? Let's just leave it to that sunshiny state. Is it time to defy the government throughout the state? Every Bible-believing church needs to make the same decision as Grace Community Church. And I think the answer to that question is no, they don't. From the beginning of the COVID business here on Wretched Radio, we have also had a position on what a church should do. And I have been very firm on my opinion about what every single church should do regarding COVID. Let me take you back in time, if you don't mind. This goes back all the way to March the 12th. This was my considered, not opinion, fact, what every church should do in response to COVID.
Should Christians not assemble as we are commanded to do on Sunday mornings? I now would like to lay down the definitive Christian response. You don't need to go anywhere else. I'm just going to give you, here it is. This is the way we should all be living in light of coronavirus. Should we cancel church? What about communion? Do we shake one another's hands? Do we go to work at all? Here's the biblical answer. This is just going to settle it once and for all. Whatever. That's it. Whatever. Different Christians are going to have different takes on this subject, and I don't think we should be making a law where there isn't a law, perhaps. And we certainly shouldn't be shooting other Christians when we disagree on issues like this, which seems to be an increasing trend in the circular firing squad we call evangelical Christianity.
That was March 12th. That was my position then. That's my position now. Every church needs to make the best decision for their church. This from March 12th.
I am seeing this more and more, and it's increasingly grievous. It seems there are no rules anymore about judging anybody for anything. You say two wrong words and rah! You say something that doesn't maybe just hit it exactly in the bullseye and you're out of here, pal. What happened to a little bit of grace for our brothers and sisters who maybe don't take the exact position on a secondary or, in this case, maybe a tertiary issue? Yikes, we sure do whiff some chum in the water, and we are just all over it. Can't we do better than cable news? Nevertheless, there are some people who are already at war over issues about coronavirus. Should you cancel the church service? My answer is that's up to you.
And that is still my position. Did John MacArthur and Grace Community Church make the best decision about when to open their church? The answer is yes. Is that the best decision for your church? Maybe, maybe not. And I think John MacArthur would say the same thing. It is a local church issue. And every church has a set of considerations. They are in a different place. They've got different members. They've got different ages. And they maybe are in a different place where COVID is hotter than other places. There are all kinds of individual considerations. And your church, I believe, should make that consideration for themselves. And so I think John MacArthur and Grace Community Church absolutely made the right decision for themselves. And you can make the right decision for yourself to demonstrate. I think we've been consistent on this subject. This is from 518, where we spent a fair amount of time talking about Romans 14.
Likewise, those who think the lockdown should continue should not pass judgment on those who question the wisdom of the government's ongoing restrictions. Do you see the brilliance of the Bible? It is a two-way street here. Unlike our postmodern culture, tolerance, it runs in one direction, my way. You disagree, you either get on my lane going in my direction, or we are going to knock you out of the race. Not in Christendom. We love. And then we spend time with one another, working through it, reasoning through it, talking through it, not yelling, being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, modeling Christ-like humility in how we react to the plans of leaders. Even if you don't agree with it, there's humility that we need to possess. Everybody's an epidemiologist these days. Everybody figures out the facts the way that they have figured them out, and they've got it right. Well, so do other people, and that means whether I really believe that I'm really, really right, and I do think I am, I nevertheless have humility. Nevertheless. And I listen.
That has been my position all along. So I don't think John MacArthur and Grace Community Church have changed at all. I don't think that we have changed at all. Furthermore, there might be some people who would say, hey, wait a second. Haven't you been saying that we need to obey the government regarding masks? And my answer to that has been yes. But wearing a mask is not the same as doing a church service. Doing a church service, an entirely different activity. Wearing a mask is, I don't think there's any contradiction in holding both positions. That I think we submit to the government even when they give us rules or laws that we don't particularly care for. But when they step over the line of the authority of the realm of the church, commanding Christians to disobey the true commander-in-chief, God, that then becomes an Acts 4, Acts 5 scenario, where the government now is indeed overstepping its bounds of authority and telling us to sin. We see this in Daniel 6, when Daniel was commanded to sin, he forbade, so did the preachers in Acts 4 and 5. And so can we question, what is the best date for your church to open? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound. It feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for joining us today. We do always appreciate when you spend part of your day with us listening to Wretched Radio. A quiz for today. What is it that is absolutely free? It will bring you great information on the tough theological issues of today and keep you up to date on the latest happenings here at Wretched. What could it be? Well, if you're already signed up for our newsletter, you know. It is, in fact, our Wretched newsletter. Yep, it is free. And it will, in fact, bring you great, thorough, in-depth information on a wide range of theological issues that face Christians today. The question now is, what hoops must you jump through to get this amazing offer? Well, first you grab your favorite computing device, then you go to wretched.org/newsletter. Fill in the information and you're good to go. Then every month, the Wretched newsletter appears in your email, chock full of wretchedy goodness. wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks. Basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Brilliant! God has given us something brilliant, and yet, ooh, we can so biff it. This is Wretched Radio. Adiaphoron, it is a category of gray issues, the middle things, the neither commanded nor forbidden by God, a space that God has provided for us to get along. God doesn't want us fighting. He most certainly doesn't want us in sex. God wants us to be in unity. Of course, there must be truth in order to have unity, so I'm not talking about essential issues here. I'm not even necessarily talking about secondary issues. I am talking about issues that God has provided for us to have a difference of opinion. And while there might be somebody who is right or wrong on one of these areas, it's not a sin issue per se. And so God has created, not in a postmodern way, a brilliant scheme that is played out in Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 that allows us to have a difference of opinion on a myriad of subjects and yet get along. This is an issue that is important, and I would suggest to you we would do well to get this worked out today before we're forced to, because we might be. Do you think that if you and I, let's just imagine something crazy here, we get arrested and put in jail, and we are shackled, and all we have is one another, we going to be fighting over some of this stuff, or are we going to be clinging to our brothers and sisters? It seems to me we do a fair amount of squabbling. Now, I'm not talking about debating. I'm not talking about working through issues. Groovy, cool, rock on. This is different. This is having an opinion about something and then going to war over it. When God has provided us a space to get along, one wonders if this is why there's so much church shopping and bopping. One wonders if this is why so few people these days refuse to commit to being a member of a local congregation, because they find it so difficult to commit to those people with whom they disagree on things. I'm not talking about essentials. This is an area we must all strive to improve in. This is the very reason for the institution of marriage, among others. It's a school of character. So is the local church. It's a school of character. And yet, so often we find ourselves annoyed with our brothers and sisters because they think that we should open church now, and others said, no, we should have never closed it in the first place. And some people are saying now, no, we got to wait some more time. What's the right answer? Adiaphoron. And every church needs to make that decision for themselves. This, by the way, has been our stance here on Wretched Radio. This particular clip, 5:28.
That fellow made it onto Fox and Friends, encouraging other faith leaders to defy the government. Is that even an option for Christians? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes, it is. When is the trickier question, and what makes it even a little bit more dicey is that that could be a different answer based on where you are. Somebody in rural Texas might make a different decision than some pastor in Manhattan is going to. Or depending on the demographic of your congregation, there are different considerations. I do not think yet we have a one-size-fits-all. Can a church ultimately defy the government? And the answer to that is, sure, if they're telling us to sin.
That's been our stance from the get-go, and that's our stance today. A lot of attention has been turned to Grace Community Church, who has made that decision for their church That line has been crossed. And so they believe it is time to get back to obeying Jesus Christ and doing church on Sunday morning, full blown. And they even on Sunday night did a full blown fellowship, brought in the food trucks, everybody hung out for a number of hours together. That was to defy Caesar. And their rationale, you can find it at gty.org. I don't think there's anything anybody could argue with there. Now, what if a church feels like, but for us, oh, it's not exactly right? Then that's your decision. And I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to judge anybody's decision. Can I have an opinion about it? Yeah. I have to confess, I've seen some rather progressive churches saying, we're going to cancel church to the end of the year. And I'm thinking, that's a long time to make that sort of decision when this has been a roller coaster ride at best. Nevertheless, it's not my church. I'm not there. I don't know the considerations. I don't know the finances. I don't know the maturity of the body. I don't know the age of the body. I don't know how long the pastor's been there. I don't know what other skirmishes they've just come through. I don't know. And neither do you. And so you and your church should make that decision for you and your church. And yet, how easy is it to see what's going on elsewhere and start firing shots? Consider the book of 1 Corinthians. And the importance of unity to Jesus Christ, who prayed for unity. Again, there must be truth in order for there to be unity. But we also recognize God has provided a big space for us to simply not agree on many things operationally. It's the area of adiaphoron, things neither commanded nor forbidden by God. In 1 Corinthians, we see people practicing sectarianism. They are following Paul. Some are following Apollos. Some are, I'm a Peter. And God says, you're of Jesus Christ. You don't fall into cliques. You don't fall into sects. Now, the assumption there is that they were all being taught truth by those individual teachers. Apollos was teaching rightly. Peter was teaching. Paul was teaching rightly. No heresy coming from those men. They were in agreement doctrinally. Nevertheless, God's command is, don't follow a man, you follow Jesus Christ, because I don't want you divided, because they were getting all clicky, and they were listening to true teachers. Now, if that's the case, if we see God's heart expressed in the garden when Jesus prayed for the unity that he has with the Father, that he wants us to have with one another, if we see God's heart expressed in 1 Corinthians, that he doesn't want us dividing when there are true teachers that are leading to the division. They aren't teaching division, but that's what was happening in the body. How much more must it grieve God's heart when we're dividing over what day should you open your church? There are considerations, and it could come to a time when people are mostly in agreement. You know what? That's really clear. The government has absolutely, positively set out a mandate as if we were living in China to say, you can't gather. You churches cannot gather. We're going to defy that. Why? Because of Daniel 6. Because of Acts 4 and 5, we obey our Lord who teaches us and commands us to assemble together. There could come a time when there is much more uniformity. But is that time now? Well, I think we're getting closer, aren't we? And in fact, here's one for you. Let's say we're there. Let's say we're there right now. And you've concluded absolutely definitively now is the time for churches to defy the government. And there's another person who says, I don't think so. How are we going to treat one another? Even as it becomes really clear to you. See, this is always the tricky part of adiaphoron. I'm settled with it in my mind. I have this perfectly straight. Don't you get it? Don't you see it my way? And this is the brilliance of the Bible. God provides a space for people to really feel like they're right when they might be or might not be. Because there are issues that are neither commanded nor forbidden by God. How you get your hair cut is not commanded nor forbidden. And yet, we have an opinion about how somebody gets their hair cut, don't we? It's to this, it's to dying hair. Is there a commandment about that? Now, could it be a pride issue that causes somebody with vanity to dye their gray hair? Sure, it could be. But is that commanded or forbidden? No. Is somebody right or wrong? No. The historical list has been things like smoking, card playing, dancing, alcohol consumption. Those have been the traditional ones where God has not given a clear directive and there is space for us to disagree. Could I possibly suggest we are in that space right now? Let's not biff it more than ever. I'm telling you, we need unity. And you are going to wish that you hadn't made so many enemies when you are sitting with them in a jail cell. The time for unity is always, especially now, and we can have it courtesy of God's brilliant Bible and Adiaphoron. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A Dutch website that illegally sells the abortion pill to women in the U.S. saw a 20% increase in requests between March 20th and April 11th, according to a recent study from the University of Texas. The study said the website normally would receive about 2,600 requests in that time frame, but instead had over 3,300 requests. The most significant increase is happening in states with high rates of COVID-19 or where authorities included abortion on a list of non-essential medical procedures to cancel, often triggering legal battles. A few exceptions were Alabama, Arkansas, and Iowa. They all had to go to court to defend their coronavirus safety rules for abortion, but none of them saw a significant uptick in requests for abortion pills. Some states with the highest number of COVID-19 cases, such as New York and California, were among the most permissive in allowing abortion facilities to remain open. Texas saw the biggest hike in pill requests, totaling 787 over the three-week span, a 94% increase over what was expected. The state would not allow most surgical abortions from March 23rd until April 22nd because of concerns about preserving supplies and equipment for fighting the COVID-19 pandemic. The pills, purchased illegally from the website of a group, Aid Access, put women at risk for severe complications with no medical oversight. The U.S. FDA warned Aid Access more than a year ago to stop introducing into interstate commerce misbranded and unapproved new drugs, but the FDA has still taken no action against the sites, and earlier this month a federal judge waived the FDA rules for legal distribution of abortion pills during the pandemic. The number of calls to Heartbeat International's abortion pill hotline doubled in March and April, paralleling this increase in drug-induced abortions during the pandemic. Other pro-life organizations also saw more requests for help. At the beginning of March, a pregnancy helpline, the Human Coalition, received about 200 calls a day. By the end of the month, it was taking anywhere between 5 to 700 calls daily. Lord have mercy. In Morocco, police cracking down on Christian converts from Islam, according to Aid to the Church in Need. Jawad El-Hamidi of the Moroccan Association of Rights and Religious Liberties said authorities arrest converts a few times a week and harass and pressure them to return to Islam before releasing them. Although Morocco grants foreign Christians freedom to worship, the penal code requires citizens to profess faith in Islam. Evangelism is a crime, and Christian converts must worship secretly in homes. Despite government and community persecution, a church leader told Mission Network News that more Moroccans are turning to Christianity. In recent years, some urged the government to grant religious freedom and status for marriage and burial rights to Christians. Adding there are also many people in Morocco becoming disillusioned with Islam, he says social media has been a gift in recent years. It allows Moroccans to ask spiritual questions without fear of censorship. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And if you'd please pass your papers to the front for a grading. This is Wretched Radio. Here's my paper. Gentlemen, I just submitted that perhaps we Christians would do well to remember Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, and give one another a little space and a little grace when it comes to issues like whether to close your church, keep it closed, how you're going to worship, how many people, wearing a mask, social distancing, all of those things, that it is up to the individual church to make those decisions, and we should be very slow, if ever, to impose our decision on another church. Gentlemen, would you please let me know what sort of emails I can look forward to receiving?
I think you're probably going to receive a lot of the emails that you've already received.
Which are?
Various reasons why you're wrong.
About what, though?
Everything. Everything.
Okay. If you would like to make the argument that this is a clear cut and dry issue, I would still plead with you that there should be grace in this time. I know that there are some people who are saying churches should have never closed. Okay. And other churches said yes, and you disagree with that, and vice versa. Yeah, and we're going to write screeds against one another? Blog nasty about somebody who's a brother in the Lord, a sister in the faith? Even if you believe that this is, it's so clear in your mind, which is always, always, always the challenge to Adiaphron. It challenges both parties. When you know you've got this right, God says, you still need to be giving it up. You still need to be willing to let go of not holding your own position, but in judging another brother or sister in these spaces. I'm not talking about Trinitarian theology. I'm not talking about grace alone. I'm talking about tertiary issues. These are complex. These are tricky, and as we've talked about before, everybody brings just a bag of historical goodies to the party. They dip into it, and they make decisions, and you and I conclude that we are right. And this is a time I would suggest to you, we need to think that you're right if you would like to, but not be excoriating those with whom you disagree. And there can be consistency with a church that makes a different decision at a different time based on different variables, whether you're aware of them or not. How much money should a church spend on its new building? You got an opinion? None of my business what a local church spends on a building or doesn't spend. How's about they meet in a strip mall versus in a standalone building versus a multi-purpose building? There's one that we've done battle. Now, do I have an opinion about it? Absolutely. Do I think that my opinion is absolutely right and we need to get back to the classic style of church architecture which actually had thought and design and that taught you something when you approached the front door? Yes! But I'm not going to break fellowship with you if you want to make a horrible decision and do it in a strip mall. We feel so earnest about these things. And typically, is it not the first thought that comes into my mind? Isn't that usually the way that it is when it comes to so many issues that we get into fights over? For instance, where are we going to go to dinner tonight, family? It's Friday night. It's special night. Where are we going to go? And you've got in mind all along where you want to go. And that's the best place to go because that's where you want to go. And somebody suggests something else. So what do you do? Well, you either try to be a little bit passive aggressive, or you just come out and be flat out aggressive. No, I'm picking up the tab. We're going where I want to go. because it's what we want. It's what we feel is right. It's what we think is best. And that attitude has led to countless divorces, children who are prodigals, and churches that split. Am I suddenly becoming a liberal? No, I'm not. There is a biblical space that God provides for these things, and we need to use it so that we can actually love one another. Here's another case in point for you that I think you would do well to figure out. The whole social justice business, this can be an area that is causing division. Have you really thought it through well? Is this an essential issue? Now, here's the tricky part, of course, and we're seeing this right now with the Grace Community Church decision to now defy the government as opposed to 5 months ago. Things change, don't they? Issues become more clear. Details bubble to the surface. I get a better understanding. I do some more reading. I meet some more people. And I get better educated on a subject. And historical events happen in time. And things happen in the news that becomes a part of our cultural story that change the scenario. And so sometimes people find it very difficult to make those modifications because they think that they're compromising or changing their position. It's not. History happens in time. I think the response to the Grace Community Church announcement that they are going to defy the government, I think the biggest issue was that people are making the accusation this is a change of position. And I
hold on 1 second. Hold on.
We'll wait here.
Let me just set it aside.
What you got
already.
There?
Let me just share. This is actually the addendum that they put on to the announcement that they made. I believe it came out on Friday, perhaps. Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church. A biblical case for the church's duty to remain open. They set forth the case. Insofar as government authorities do not attempt to assert ecclesiastical authority or issue orders that forbid our obedience to God's law, their authority is to be obeyed, whatever we agree with, whether we agree with their rulings or not. So, water, electricity, egress from the building, fire signs, fire codes. We obey the government, don't we? So the government does reach into the church to some degree, and we let them because it's not an ecclesiastical authority issue. Now they start telling you how to do communion. Now the government starts telling you when you can and can't meet. Now we got a big deal. And that is what we see happening here. Now, people were saying, you've changed your mind, therefore, you're flip-flopping. So here's their response. The elders of Grace Church considered and independently consented to the original government order, not because we believe the state has a right to tell churches when, whether, or how to worship. To be clear, we believe that the original orders were just as much an illegitimate intrusion of state authority into ecclesiastical matters as we believe it is now. Catch that? Grace Community Church thought, hey, you're intruding into church business, and you have no business in this part of the building. Fine. You want an exit sign above that door too. Fine. That's different than telling us whether we should do church or not. However, because we could not possibly have known the true severity of the virus and because we care about people as our Lord did, we believe guarding public health against serious contagions is a rightful function of Christians as well as civil government. Therefore, we voluntarily followed the initial recommendations of our government. It is, of course, legitimate for Christians to abstain from the assembly of saints temporarily in the face of illness or an imminent threat to public health. Roughly 40% of the year has passed with our church essentially unable to gather in a normal way. We can't shepherd. We can't minister. Our influence and our unity threatened opportunities for believers to serve and minister to one another. That's a big deal because we're commanded to do those things. That is a huge deal that's been overlooked. And the suffering of Christians who are troubled, fearful, distressed, infirm, or otherwise in urgent need of fellowship and encouragement has been magnified beyond anything that could possibly be reasonably considered just or necessary. Major public events that were planned for 2021 are already being canceled, signaling that officials are preparing to keep restrictions in place into next year and beyond. That forces churches to choose between the clear command of our Lord and the government officials. Therefore, following the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly choose to obey him. Circumstances changed, and so did their opinion. And so will your churches. And together, as we continue to make our way through the coronavirus business, let us remember the space that God has provided for us, the unity that he desires, and how he wants us to be salty and a very bright light. And if we are squabbling and potshotting at one another, making snarky claims against one another over an issue like this, we are, well, blowing it. We have an opportunity right now to show the world what the church is really all about. And what we are all about is unity in truth, love for one another, because we have been loved so much. This is Wretched Radio. Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, this is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer, and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
We get it. This new normal is, well, not yet normal. So if you're tired of surfing through whatever streaming services you have, then might I suggest checking out The Man Who Split Time. Imagine a man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? And what did he do to deserve such an unprecedented honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is the perfect booklet to give to any skeptic or unbeliever who thinks that Jesus was just a mere mortal. Get your copies now at wretched.org/time and start giving them away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is waiting now at wretched.org/time.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, well, that was a nice thought while it lasted. This is Wretched Radio. When a major drama, something that terrifies a nation, happens, we love to think the churches will be filled. Well, thanks to coronavirus, they weren't when the pandemic scare began, because you couldn't go to a church. And yet, there was thinking there's more Bible reading going on because more people are searching for Bible verses than ever before. And that was short-lived. New study, courtesy of George Barna and the American Bible Society. People, historic low levels of Bible reading. That's right, we've hit an all-time low. We thought maybe people would be reading their Bibles because they need some comfort. Nope, it's dipped into single digits. All-time low, 9%. Read their Bibles every day. 9%. Hate to say this, because this is not a gloat. This is just another statistic that I believe supports the tragic reality that if you had to somehow try to figure out how many people in America are actually saved, you'd have to look at single digits. The markers, faithful Bible reading, faithful giving, faithful church attendance, those issues are solid markers of sound, saved Christians. I was reading some church quotes. I believe it was Mark Dever who was saying that in the early days of the church, for somebody to miss church, that was like a siren going off. Something's wrong, especially if they missed it somewhat regularly. They're up to shenanigans. They're hiding something. A person who does not commit to a local church, who doesn't become a member of a local church, and who starts skipping church, that is the surest sign that there is a problem with that person. Not exactly the attitude we have these days, is it? Was going through some old recordings last night, looking for sound bites of throughout the past months, how I believe that my position on issues coronavirus has stayed, I hope, consistent. I hope it has been. And as I was looking for these, I heard a little snippet where I said, get ready for when churches do open, that they might not be as packed as we'd like them to be. Now, Grace Community Church opened. They were swarming with people. They were absolutely filled to the rafters and outside in a tent. Their overflow was huge. But I would suggest to you that when churches finally do open, if this country calms down and we start to return to some sort of civility and normalcy, I don't think that we should expect the churches to be packed out. Good churches, I think that's going to happen. Bible-based churches, that's going to happen. But the big external evangelical, most, not all, but mostly megachurch system, the seeker-sensitive movement, the progressive side of evangelicalism, I don't think that we are going to be seeing numbers. I think we're going to be seeing a major shrinkage, which means you can look forward to some new polls coming out from Barna and from others telling you the evangelical community has certainly shrunk. For those of you who are political aficionados, that has some pretty big implications, doesn't it? In the meantime, in New York City, I'm sorry, guys, what is it? Do you smell that where you are?
Is there a faint odor of hypocrisy?
I do believe that I smell some hypocrisy. This is just too rich and too annoying, frankly. Planned Parenthood, I'm going to dump Margaret Sanger's name. Oh, okay. So let me get this straight. Just as of last year, you had the Margaret Sanger Award.
Yep.
As if somehow now this is a blast of new information that Margaret Sanger was a thoroughgoing racist. just some examples of that. She was tied to the eugenics movement. Racism was apparent. She did a speech with the New Jersey Ku Klux Klan. In the speech, she made anti-immigrant remarks for genetic control reasons. She also called Australia's Aborigines the lowest known species of the human family, just a step higher than the chimpanzees in brain development. That's charming.
Lovely. She's nice.
She was a part of the Negro Project, if you recall. Race, this wasn't hidden in a closet. This is not a blast of information, but culture now, as they are busy canceling pretty much everybody who's ever said anything that they don't deem exactly correct about, well, virtually everything, Planned Parenthood is responding. Oh, we didn't know. You see, we've been doing this Margaret Sanger Award because we thought she was an amazing woman. And when we did all that research on her, we didn't know she was a part of the Negro Project. And we didn't know that she was for eugenics and hated lower races of people who weren't white. Just unbelievable. And yet, it gets even more ironic. Margaret Sanger, I don't know if you realize this, she wasn't for abortion. Quote, she thought that access to birth control was a human right, but was repulsed by abortion. Quote, in my opinion, it is a cruel method of dealing with the problem. Yeah, I'll say. Because abortion, no matter how well done, is a terrific nervous strain and an exhausting physical hardship. Well, not to mention it's the intentional taking of an innocent human life. Not to mention that little detail.
And that.
Because she just thought it was hard on women, therefore there's got to be a better way. Nevertheless, Planned Parenthood has taken her ideals and exceeded her greatest expectations. She has helped Planned Parenthood with its eugenics efforts. There's one particular people group that has been exterminated more than any other. The black community. 19 million black babies have been aborted since 1973. Was it Stalin, I believe, that said something like, the death of one person, it's a tragedy. The death of a million, it's just a number. It's a statistic. 19 million, you go, oh, that's a lot. What's our national debt? $23 trillion? You know, that's a lot. No, you have no idea. 19 million people. And what would that be? Take New York, all of them, everybody, that entire state, give or take, I'm guessing is about 19. If I had to guess, pretty close to 19 million, because I think Manhattan, about 12 million altogether with all the different boroughs. Black babies exterminated from Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood, of which she was the founder. But now they're saying, oh, well, we're going to take her name off of our buildings and off of our streets because we don't want to be canceled. Quote, the removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproductive harm within communities of color, which is why they still operate predominantly in black communities. This absolutely reeks. Planned Parenthood kills 900 babies every single day. A desperate attempt to try to not be canceled by culture. As long as I brought up New York City and Planned Parenthood, just a shout out for our friends at Preborn. They're still open. They are still trying to save babies, one baby at a time. And by the way, one mommy and one daddy at a time to boot. They are trying to preach the gospel to everybody who comes into one of their centers. They could use some help. It's pretty rough there right now. If you'd like to support Preborn, it's a great ministry. $28 for an ultrasound typically saves the life of a baby 80% of the time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretch. Okay, what is that smell? This is not hypocrisy. This is a different smell altogether.
This is a different smell.
Two, three, four. You missed it, Tony.
I was busy sniffing.
Megachurch pastor warns woke Christians should not jump on cultural hype trains. Quote, woke Christian leaders and pastors today are jumping on the hype train of what culture is currently applauding. Don't do that. Don't be a Christian that just jumps on a fad, says this megachurch pastor. Would you like to know who that megachurch pastor is?
I'm not sure if I do.
I don't think I do.
That would be Ed Young Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Ed Young Jr., the trendiest pastor in all of evangelicalism, who has jumped on every single trend, every single fad, every single way to try to lure people into his congregation, is now telling us, hey, don't jump on that fad. Instead, jump on my fads. Oh, wow. Man, Scylla. If that just doesn't reek to the rafters. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Did I expect any sort of consistency? My bad. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.